Shabbat Shalom, brethren. We're now continuing with regards to Naphtali. So, Naphtali was a very special person. You know, the Bible has become so real to me in the last couple of years. I can't put it in words. Let me just tell you a little bit about Naphtali. Naphtali, one of Jacob's or Israel's sons, is the main figure of this month, as we have discussed in the previous audio. He was as swift as a deer or a doe. A doe is a female, a deer is the male. This is very true and proven during Jacob's or Israel's funeral at the cave of Machpelah. Actually, it was first proven when Joseph was introducing himself. No, when Joseph was demanding that Benjamin stays in Egypt with him. The children of Israel, what is not written in the book of Genesis is that the children of Israel had an argument with Joseph. One of them, I've forgotten who, one of them stood his ground and said he cannot go back to his father Israel without Benjamin. And what's his name? Judah. Judah is the one that was ready to fight Joseph without holding back because of Benjamin, because they knew the pain they had caused their father when Joseph got lost. They could not allow Benjamin to stay. That was before Joseph had revealed who he was. So what happened was, as they were still arguing over that issue, and Joseph was putting his foot down as Pharaoh's messenger, or he was in charge of the land of Egypt, Judah told Naphtali to go around Egypt, each house, and count. Count how many houses, how many people are in Egypt. Because Judah said he is ready to fight everybody in Egypt and kill them because of Benjamin. Now, when Naphtali was asked to go and carry the children, to count the children of Egypt, Mizraim, Naphtali did it within less than 15 minutes. I can't even explain. He was like a fly. He just flew. I don't know. I don't even want to use the word flew. He ran so fast and got the count within a few minutes and came back to Judah and reported. After he reported, Judah picked up a large stone. Let me call it rock, not even stone, rock. A rock that no man on earth can lift unless the Lord gives them that strength. He lifted a large rock, put it above his head, and crushed it, and it became dust. So when you read the blessings that Jacob, Israel, gave to the children of Israel, they are not a joke. They were actually true. They came to pass. Each and every child acted according to the blessing that was given to them, the prophetic blessing. Naphtali was so fast, nobody could catch up with him. That was his own gift. So anytime there was a war and they had to fight, Naphtali was somebody you could rely on if you want to quickly, you know, if maybe you're about to have an accident like from a balcony. I'm saying this because it actually happened. I don't remember who was on a balcony when they were fighting against the people who raped Dinah, or they were in a battle because of the children who raped Dinah. And, you know, one of the children of Israel was standing on a balcony and he needed to be saved. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they called Naphtali to come and rescue them because he was so fast. But also Judah had so much strength. And this is why Judah was highly respected and feared. So Joseph was very afraid when Judah crushed the rock and became dust. I think Judah dropped the rock on the floor. He used his hand to smash it. Bam! And the rock became dust. So this is in the book of Jasher. The book of, it's called the book of the upright man. It is mentioned in the Bible. as a record of, you know, the biblical events in greater detail. So it's very useful to read so that you can get to know a little bit more about these biblical characters, because they were really special. They enjoyed things we still haven't seen yet. Anyway, let's continue. So the other event when Naphtali was, you know, seen as swift like a deer was when Israel, at Israel's funeral, so Jacob's funeral, which was at the cave of Machpelah, which Abraham had bought. So they had to carry his remains from Egypt all the way back to Israel at the cave of Machpelah. And while they were burying him, Esau showed up and started to fight over ownership of the cave. How he heard about the death, I don't know, but in those days, it's like Israel was a celebrity. Jacob was a celebrity. He was well known. So word always traveled fast when things like that happened. Because of their relationship with God, they were so well known, regarded highly and feared. So Esau shows up at his brother's funeral to fight over the ownership of the cave, because now his brother had passed on. The only thing that was to stop Esau from taking ownership of the cave purchased by Abraham for Israel, for his descendants, was the paperwork given to Joseph by his father Israel. Hallelujah. This was the proof of ownership. So these had been left in Egypt when they went for the funeral, obviously, because they were not expecting that they would need them. So the cave was in the land of Israel, which at the time was known as Canaan. So since Naphtali was the swiftest of them all, Joseph being the firstborn, Joseph had replaced Reuben because of Reuben's behavior. Reuben went and, you know, tried to force Jacob to live in the same tent as his mother Leah. Because when Rachel died, he just felt that, you know, Jacob is abandoning Leah too much. So he tried to force Jacob to stay with Leah by removing Bilhah, who was Rachel's maid servant, from his tent. That displeased him so much, and that is why Reuben received a curse. The curse involved him losing the firstborn right, the priestly right, and one other thing that I've forgotten, which were distributed to three of his brothers, which is Judah, Levi, and Joseph. Yeah, it was the firstborn right, the royal right, so to become kings coming from his tribe, and then the priestly right. So that's how Reuben lost that ownership. Sorry, he lost those rights, and these were given to his brothers. So that's how Joseph became the firstborn. Now, one of the reasons why Joseph became firstborn as well is because he was sent ahead of his brothers to Egypt to provide for them and for the rest of the world, thereby him becoming the firstborn. And that's why to this day, firstborn people are looked up to so much whenever, you know, there's problems in the family and the parents are not around to handle those problems. Or even when the parents are around, they look up to the firstborn a lot to be the one to resolve issues. So Joseph sent Naphtali to Egypt to collect the paperwork and bring it to show Esau. Naphtali went and returned within 15 minutes or less. And the distance was so long, but he did it within just a few seconds, few minutes. When Esau saw that he was losing his claim, he started to fight against his nephews. In the end, he lost his head. Esau's family members became afraid as their leader had lost the battle. So they fled. However, they did not give up on warring against the children of Israel from that day onwards. they went to, in fact, they went to Egypt a few times, on a few occasions, to start battles against the children of Israel, and they always lost. They always lost because the children of Israel on their own, just the 12 of them, or let me say the 11, no, 10 of them, the 10 are the ones who mostly got involved in the fighting. Because Joseph and Benjamin were really young the first time the battles were happening. They were really strong. They all had their gifts that were amazing. And, you know, they fought. I think Joseph and Benjamin eventually started joining in battles. But they always won in a very interesting way. So it was after this battle that Israel was laid to rest. Esau did not truly forgive and let go, but I think his head ended up being buried down there with Jacob's remains. Esau's family still sought revenge at every Esau did not truly forgive and let go. He still sought revenge at every opportunity possible, even at the point of his brother's death. Israel led a life of battle. It was a very challenging life. He had to be well equipped with Yah's word or his. Yah says, Esau he hates and Jacob he loves. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, regarding Naphtali, we're going to carry on now. That was a diversion. I'm going to stop here. I'll continue in the next audio. Shalom.